Designed by Wingnut Social is brought to you by Wingnut Social, the leading interior design and home pro digital marketing agency. We know it works, so you don't have to. Learn more at wingnutsocial.com.
Have you hit a wall when it comes to growing your design business? Then welcome to Designed by Wingnut Social, helping home professionals accelerate their success with proven industry practices and expert advice.
Hey kids, and welcome to Designed by Wingnut Social. I am your host, Darla Jethro Powell, interior decorator and the grand high poobah of all things here at Wingnut Social, a marketing agency for interior designers to the trade manufacturers and architects. Thank you for joining us today. Today's guest, Molly Schoneveld, is the founder of The Storied Group, which is a PR agency for interior designers. And she has been very successful getting designers placed in magazines such as Domino, Architectural Digest, Elle Decor, the list goes on and on and on and on. But the times, they are a-changing. And the things that these editors are looking for are different than what you might be expecting. So you're going to want to stay tuned. But before I get into my chat with Molly Schoneveld, you guys know that our course, Instagram for Interior Designers, is going. If you didn't know, now you know. If you're at a space, you're an interior design firm, and you are not quite at the level to where you can afford to delegate all of your social media marketing to an agency such as Wingnut Social, this course, Instagram for Interior Designers, will walk you through step by step on how to put together a strategy in order to attract real clients from Instagram. There's a whole hell of a lot that goes in that course. And in the interest of time, I will just tell you to go to wingnutsocial.com and check out Wingnut Academy. We have a lot of success stories from that course already. In fact, you can check out our episode with Ashley Marks of Marks Living Co. And she went from zero to gangbusters just taking that course. It's really inspirational and crazy with the business she's getting from Instagram just from that course. A very new business as well. And of course, if you are a larger firm, if you're a million and $2 firm, that $2 is super important. If you're a million or more firm and you want to delegate your marketing out to us, wingnutsocial.com, we're happy to help you out. We do interior design. That's all we do. That's what we specialize in. And we know the vernacular and the lingo because I myself am an interior decorator from Miami, Florida. And I know how our business model works. I know how we need to speak to potential clients in order to get them to know, like, and trust us and throw money at us to design their spaces. All right, that's enough about us. Before I get into my convo with Molly, you know the drill. I got to tell you about her. Molly Schoneveld's expertise lies at the intersection of entertainment and lifestyle. Honed through her experiences working alongside Hollywood elites and A-list talent. With The Storied Group, Molly has been instrumental in helping design and lifestyle clients nationwide publish their projects, launch stores, books, and product lines. Wingnuts, help me in welcoming Molly Schoneveld to the show. Hey there, Molly Schoneveld. Welcome back to the show. How the hell are you?
Hi, it's so good to be back. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. So Molly Schoneveld, is this your second or third time on the podcast? I've lost track. I can't remember, but
it's my second.
This is the second. Why does it feel like it's like your third? I don't know why. But of course, you're the founder of The Storied Group, an amazing PR firm for interior designers. And in the green room, you were telling me that a lot has changed in the way that we grab that real estate, right? How'd you like that? How'd you like the way I said that?
So, I love it. I love how you got that in there.
So before we dig in, just tell the audience, remind the audience a little bit about who you are and what you do, just really briefly, and then we'll talk about how that's changed, how that landscape has changed.
Yeah. So, as you said, like I own a PR firm called The Storied Group. We now have offices on two coasts. My team is based in LA, which is where I lived for 23 years. And then as so many people migrated to smaller cities during the pandemic, my husband and I moved to Raleigh last year. So it hasn't even been one full year. Yeah. So, but yeah, we have interior designers all over the country and, I love it.
Yeah. And you're a really high-end interior design firm too. You and I have spoken about in the past, of course, and you've been on the podcast. So let's just get right to the meat of the matter because, I'm really intrigued to see how things are changing, how we're staging our designs. You mentioned that that's changing in the green room. How can that even be possible? And what is affecting that?
I know. Well, I think, you know, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, it used to be that you could just you know, hire a great photographer, and it was about the lighting and the angles, and it still is obviously about those things. Sure. But we have seen such a shift with editorial in terms of what editors are wanting, especially when it comes to full home tours. So mm-hmm. we're no longer seeing as much formal, like the one editor that I heard on a podcast described it as, they don't want it to feel like the decorator just left the room. They're wanting it to feel like real life that just looks good in photographs, which be a really hard thing to achieve, especially if it's a new build and you're bringing, and everything is new, right? I mean, it's all about the layering and the styling. And so I think it is more important than ever to bring in an interior stylist for your photo shoots, for the ones that you really feel like, okay, this has legs. Like, I really think that it deserves something major, because the competition, it's pretty insane. I mean, it is really, really hard. The magazines that used to be not, you know, maybe considered like second tier, I mean, that's just no longer. I mean, it's equally as hard to get a digital tour practically as it is to get print. It's just extremely competitive.
Really? Are you seeing that the video space and the digital space, as far as like these magazines that have previously just been, you know, physical media, right? Magazines and books and stuff. Are you seeing that the digital side of that is taking over at all? Or are they, that they have equal weight?
I mean, I said this in my company newsletter recently, or actually mm-hmm. the one that I'm about to send out. I think sometimes big media brands can stand on their history, and they have mm-hmm. such name recognition. And I think, you know, I'll use an example of like Domino, right? I mean, Domino magazine has been around for a long time. I mean, it still has such cachet, even though it's just digital. But I think sometimes people, designers in particular, they're sort of going on what Domino was. You know, like they're relying on the history and that name recognition rather than actually going to Domino right now and looking to see like, what are they profiling? What stories are they doing? Like, how has this changed over the years? And I think that's so important when you are, even if you have a publicist, educating yourself and really training your eye on the magazines that you want to be in and really understanding what they're looking for today, because I do think it's quite different. And I mm-hmm. think, you know, we think about, I mean, even like somebody like going to fashion, like Abercrombie, you know, the word Abercrombie and like, you know, conjures up a certain aesthetic from the 90s or whatever. And it's like, that's obviously drastically changed, but I'm sure there's still people that think about that. So my point is just that I think you have to actually go to the magazines online, read them at least every week so that you're familiar with how they've changed.
But are you finding that they're looking for more content for the magazine for print, or are they looking for more content for their YouTube channel, their socials and that kind of thing?
So it depends on the publication. I mean, certainly Condé Nast has put a ton of budget into YouTube in particular. And I think that is something that is going to continue. We've worked with their, especially like with AD, for example, with their YouTube channel for different shows. But, you know, when you talk about that, I think sometimes they, you know, when you're cross promoting, obviously then it's like social media comes into play. How many social media followers do you have? And that's not the case across the board. I mean, there's definitely people that have been cast in these YouTube series for magazines that don't have a huge following, but it certainly helps. I think that's just a part of things. I think print with certain publications, like for example, AD, they're always going to have, as long as it's in print, that's going to have cachet. Even though they're giving so much thought to their digital, and it many times I would imagine gets more eyeballs on digital anyway. So I don't think it's an either or, you know, I think there's less pages in print across the board, no matter what, you know, magazines have gone to quarterly, they've gone to, you know, twice a year. And so to get into print now is just, you know, it's a timing thing, you know, and it's just super competitive.
Yeah. I'm just one more thought and I'll get back to the staging situation. Cause I know I just kind of went off on a journey here, but I find that as a designer, my consumption of even AD is YouTube and is the video part. And I want to see the walkthroughs of the space and I still subscribe and I still have the magazine, but I'm not really finding I'm spending a lot of time in that. I really am going through video. So I was just curious to that. Okay. So let's get back to the staging. Cause you did say, you know, I would recommend you hire a stylist for your spa. And that's just another layer of expense and complication to get it to look lived in, to have those shoes by the door, to have that, you know, the whatever that looks like. How can I word this? How messy are we getting in these brand new design build spaces we did in these glorious rooms? What kind of level of lived in are we looking at? I'm assuming no dirty clothes.
Right. So it varies from publication. And I think it was T Magazine that I saw recently. Like there was literally a pair of dirty sneakers in the bedroom. Yeah. And like a ski or something like propped up against the side table as if someone had come in, taken off their shoes and like had been on a ski trip or something like that. So it just varies. I mean, you're obviously going to have publications that still want the perfection, you know, these very grand homes, whether you're talking about El Decor or Veranda or, you know, traditional home, I think can still lean more towards that perfect look. But more and more, I mean, I pulled images recently from Domino, from T Magazine, from AD, from just a lot of different ones. And they're all doing this. Like you're just seeing this and it doesn't necessarily mean messy, but it definitely means layered and it means telling a story and it doesn't mean telling a cliche story. You know, it doesn't just mean putting bedroom shoes in the bedroom, because I feel like now that's just kind of a cliche, you know, like it needs to be like who lives in this home and what would they just organically have sitting around? You know, you see it with stacks of magazines on the floor rather than being books. It's like magazines or, you know, something that just gives it more that lived in character feeling.
Yeah. As a marketer, I can tell you that over the last several years, maybe even decade or so, the shift from buy, push this thing, hire me has shifted to a more storytelling, relationship building, connection kind of piece. And I can see that. So when you're just speaking right now, it's like that's what they're doing. They're telling that story and letting the readers or the viewers imagine themselves living the lifestyle that is involved with the space. And it definitely puts you in it.
And I do wonder how, like, if it's going to shift to where if the homeowner won't be involved, you know, sometimes homeowners are like, I don't want to be part of the story. I think it's going to get harder and harder to get full home placements. Cause even like the new editor of Lux magazine talked about on Business of Home about the fact that, you know, she wants to bring in more storytelling, and Lux has, you know, for years, it's like they didn't really care about the homeowner. And I'm wondering if that's going to be something that we see shift. I mean, time will tell. I think we'll know by this fall kind of what her changes are going to be. I think it can get very hard if there's not a design story to tell. You know, there has to be a hook. And if it's just, you know, it's just pretty, then, you know, you're not going to get that feature.
Yeah, because there's a lot of noise and just pretty, right? There has to be something deeper there. And that's a challenge when it comes to people in the PR space like you or me with my marketing agency, right? Wingnut Social, because we work with interior designers who have NDAs with clients, right? On the high-end side. So how do you wrap a story around, you know, if you're even allowed to shoot those, you know, clients with NDAs? And again, I guess that's where the stylist comes in. So how are we creating an avatar like we do in marketing for the house? You know, this is Susan McNuggets and she works, you know, at the Piggly Wiggly.
Oh my God. I mean, I hope that's not where we're headed. You know, I mean, it's funny because I do think with an NDA, it's like sometimes you just have to say, well, I got paid really well for this. And that's, you know, and you kind of have to say, well, I'm not going to be able to get press. I still tell clients, you've got to work out this piece though up front so you know ahead of time. I think designers often wait until the very end and then they're like, well, let me talk to the homeowner. And I feel like it should be in your contract. I mean, when I hired a designer for our house, it was in our contract that they were allowed to shoot it, that they were allowed to use it for press. And I can't remember if like we had to be willing to be part of the story. That may not have been part of it. But I mean, we ran out of money with the styling portion, so my house is not magazine worthy.
That's a good piece. That's a good piece to add if you do have it. And I did. I had that in my agreement for my design firm, but I didn't have you're okay to be part of the storytelling, you know, problems. Is there such a version of having like a hybrid NDA or like, okay, you can do the story, you can do the house, you can shoot it, but just don't say who owns the house?
Yeah, we've had clients recently, you know, my interior design clients have told us, oh, the homeowner is fine with the house being photographed for a magazine and they'll even give quotes, but they don't want their names in print. But it is going to limit what they can get.
Yeah, for sure. So when you're looking for a stylist who can do this kind of in-depth level of styling for a magazine or to get on, you know, the video, what are you looking for exactly? Are there stylists who specialize in just this piece or is it evolving?
I mean, I think that it is certainly evolving. It is common on like in the big cities. So LA, okay. New York, I'm sure DC and other places. It is not as common in a place like where I live in Raleigh. So, you know, if you have a project that you feel like this is it, like this is really national press, and a publicist can help guide you and tell you yes or no. I mean, you don't have to hire me for me to give you feedback on projects because we have a project placement service. So all day long, I mean, I'm getting submissions and I'll say, I think we can place this or, you know, I don't think that we can. But, you know, it helps to do that sort of research ahead of you spending the money, you know, so... Right. You only would want to invest in something like that if you feel like this has all the components to get national media. I think that, you know, flying in someone from New York, I mean, that's actually, you know, that's a huge expense. So it needs to be worth it.
Yeah, for sure. And when you're doing that, I've done that in the past and it didn't get published. But still, I did get clients from it. So, I mean, it's not like...
That's half of it. You know what I mean? Your photos are your marketing. So regardless of whether or not you get a spread in Architectural Digest, it's like still people are going to look to your photos to decide whether or not to hire you.
Yeah, for sure. Has anything changed? Like, I know last time we spoke that it was, you cannot post anything on social media for this project. If you do, forget it. Your whole, you know, career on, you know, in magazines is ruined. You have to wait a year until it's done. Has that changed or is that still a thing?
What's so weird is that I feel like it changed and then it's almost changed back. So since you and I last talked, so, I mean, we did have a magazine say to us, oh, we can't consider this because it's on her website and social. So it's not every publication, but I mean, since that, and that only happened about a month ago. And since that happened, we have definitely been telling our clients, you know, if they're on your website and you want us to, and we're pitching it right now, take it down just for the time that we're pitching it. You know, I still stand by the fact that you should not be sharing your hero images on your social media until they're published. I just think that like, even if a magazine doesn't care, it's still just, it's not that exciting for your followers because they've seen it. And then you get the press and you're not going to get the same reaction. You know, you still want to debut them. So I stand by that. But yeah, I'm cautioning designers. It's like, if you're really wanting like the top tier publications, then it matters. I'd say regional press probably doesn't matter as much, but still it's like you for social, just share like small tidbits. I know it's so hard though.
It is.
Because it takes a long time sometimes to get press. And even when you get it, I mean, if you're talking print, it could be a year out. So I do understand.
And it's hard to build up that excitement. What we do for our clients is we'll take the journey there and we'll hold on to that. We'll hold on to that project. And then let's say we know it's going to be published next month or something. Then we start putting the behind the scenes stories and build, wait, you know, tune in to see this. So it times that way. So you just have to have the discipline to hold on to it.
But I would say that, like, if you need it for your portfolio and your website, you can also password protect it. So that at least if you have a potential client, you know, you can still send them your portfolio. But I mean, at the very least, just take it down while it's being pitched. And then you can get permission from the magazine. You know, is it fine if we leave this on the website, sort of thing?
I was going through a rebrand in my company and having a new website built. And I brought in Wingnut at around the same time and had them do a strategy. In that strategy, I found it to be really comprehensive and actionable. I, like probably many designers, find Instagram to be such a bear. I understand that it is so, so important. It is a visual medium. What we do is so visual, but it's just, it's an entire full-time job, and with running a business and actually doing design, it was just really not feasible for me to keep up that pace with Instagram if I ever wanted to sleep. So working with Wingnut, they have taken all of that off of my plate, which honestly is the most invaluable piece of working with Wingnut.
I love it. So we did cover social media a little bit, and you were said, you know, not everybody needs a massive following. Sometimes followings help. Can we dig into that a little bit more and tell me what you see from your end, from a PR firm? Best practices for social media with just this intent to get published or to get discovered by magazines, et cetera.
Yeah. So I'd say that in terms of digital, if you're wanting anything digital, like a profile kind of thing, I don't know that social media necessarily matters a ton. You know, every publication is obviously different. I think that if you're trying to get partnerships with brands, or you're trying to get free stuff, even if it's not paid, that's where social media following really matters. And it's, you know, it's not that hard to get free stuff. But it is hard to get those paid partnerships. And that is where, you know, if you don't have the 50,000 follower, even 100,000, and it's not even really followers so much as just a very engaged audience.
High engagement rate. Yeah, that's the most important metric for sure.
Yeah, because if you have 50,000 followers and no one's commenting or engaging with you, then a brand isn't, I mean, they're going to know that, you know, that's what matters now.
Yeah, that's a huge red flag. I mean, we've had a couple of clients, not current clients, but a couple of potential clients come to us, and they had 50, 60,000 followers in like a less than 0.00 something engagement rate. Yeah. And you have to ask them, hey, you know, some of these followers, I'm not so sure. And, oh yeah, I bought followers or things like that. Yeah. So that's a huge disservice. You don't want to do that. And to your point, we've had Wingnut Social clients who have been newer, who have less than 5,000 followers, less than 3,000 followers, who have been picked up by Domino or picked up by online magazines and had their social shared and stuff. So you're right. They're kind of like king makers rather than getting kings to come to them. Except when you watch YouTube, Architectural Digest, all the walkthroughs are movie stars.
Yeah. Well, for sure. For Open Door. Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what that series is. And they want to be the one. I mean, everyone does. It's so fun to get like that, you know, the inside look at your favorite, like A-lister, and it does really, really well. But I mean, AD does have other series that aren't, you know, just movie stars. They don't do as well. I mean, people always want to know, like, AD, you know, AD is only about like, you know, movie stars and celebrities now. And it always goes back to the same thing I said when I did celebrity PR, and people were always upset that Kim Kardashian for years and years and years was on the cover of magazines. And it's like, it's a business, guys. Like, she sells them. Like, they care about numbers, viewership. And unfortunately, you know, our appetite for celebrities is much higher than our appetite for
Susan McNuggets.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me what inclusion pieces are and why they matter.
Yeah. So, inclusions are, for example, giving your expert opinion to a trend story in a design magazine. And it can, I mean, it doesn't even have to be a design magazine. You know, every magazine does these sorts of things. So it's basically positioning yourself as an expert. And we just launched a new service at the Story Group called Library Card. And it is specifically to partner designers with these press opportunities, because we were just naturally getting these opportunities. And if our retainer clients aren't a fit, because maybe it's like, for example, this was something that our retainer clients could talk about, but this is a great example of a piece. So the unexpected red theory, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but it started in fashion and it started really around last fall when you would see like the pops of red socks, you know, with like an all black outfit. And it was just, went viral on TikTok and it was this whole thing. Well, so now it has entered the design world. And so Elle Decor was doing a piece about this and they wanted expert opinions. And actually, I think five of our design clients made that piece talking about this unexpected red theory. And what's interesting about these pieces, and something that I talked about, I was on a panel at High Point Market back in the fall. And
sure.
I don't know if your listeners know this, but magazines now have SEO teams. They have like an SEO editor who is responsible for coming up with what the topics are going to be, because, you know, the editor in chief of, I believe it was Marie Claire, said at a conference that I was at last year, you know, the younger generation is not necessarily going to marieclaire.com or eldecor.com. They're searching unexpected red theory because they saw it on TikTok and they want to know more about it. And so magazines are now driving their content based on what people are searching for, whether it's on Google or TikTok or Pinterest or whatever, and trying to rank number one so that when they're getting these searches, their content's being found. And so that is what is what's driving a lot of content. And, you know, people in the audience were appalled by me saying this. And like, I don't think it's something to be appalled by. I think that what it is like doubling down on what people are interested in. It's another way of an algorithm, you know. It's like suddenly I can't not see like fancy ice cubes on my Instagram. It's all I see on my Discover tab, because one day I like these carrot ice cubes, and I swear to God, every day all I get this morning, I showed my husband, I was like, oh my God, it's jalapeno ice cubes. But like, I think that it's just another way of driving what people are interested in. And so if you can be part of it, then it also helps drive people to you and to your website, because any sort of expert opinion piece is going to link to your website. And that's a really good thing.
I think I understand why you got the reaction you did at High Point, because it's almost like kind of like when you're putting SEO into the search and, you know, the masses are looking for to get the numbers and stuff, it takes out the art of the design, you know, just doing it purely for the design and that piece. And it almost seems like a race to the bottom in a way, just to get clicks and stuff. But at the end of the day, all of these magazines are businesses, right? They have mouths to feed, people to pay, you know, it's things like that. So I think in order to stay alive, they don't want to be Blockbuster magazine, right? They want to stay alive and produce content that, like you said, is popular, right? So if they're doing SEO based kind of things, oh my gosh, that could be another show we could talk about, because you know, we do SEO here at Wingnut. So SEO, search engine optimization, by the way, if you're unfamiliar, it's mostly Google, and it's a way to see what people are searching for and to create the content to fulfill that need to answer those questions. And jalapeno ice cubes sound adorable. Yeah. So that is going to be something interesting to see in the landscape, and how what we're seeing in design magazines and how that's going to even affect trends and design trends. And, you know, if we're reverse engineering it from the ultimate grail is to.
But what's happening is that trends are coming and going so much faster. than ever before. I mean, I think that if this unexpected red theory in fashion happened when we were not living in a digital world with TikTok and all of this, I think it would be years before people were talking about it in design. And it's interesting because I think all the fashion people got on board with that because it was really cute. You know, you've got on a pair of black pants and a black sweater, and then you have like a little pop of red in your sock, and that's cool and whatever. But in design, I mean, I think all of our designers were not really on board with that because they were like, that just doesn't always work to put a pop of red in a room, you know?
And it sounds trendy. It sounds like something that's going to be dead if it isn't now.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, yesterday the girls in my office were talking about an article that went out that was all about the shower lamp and how that's trending on TikTok now. And so now design magazines are talking about this lamp that's like, I guess it's wireless, you know, so it's battery powered, and it, someone put it, went viral on TikTok, and now, you know, designers are being asked to comment. And I mean, it's just, it is. And maybe it is a race to the bottom.
Yeah. So that's hard to juggle. And that's something that's going to be, remains to be seen over time, is how do you keep your high end aesthetic and interior design and true to your firm and your clients, but still, you know, have those connections with what editors are looking for. So, and that's why you're here. That's why firms like the Storied Group are here. And that's why firms like Wingnut Social are here.
Yes. And this is why, you know, we don't send every opportunity to our clients that come across our desk. You know, sometimes it's just like, this makes absolutely zero sense for anybody to talk about, you know? And then there's, but to go back to these expert opinion pieces, you know, one that came across our desk that was amazing, that was a library card. I brought up the fact that we have this new service that we launched. It was all about craftsman style homes, and they really wanted a designer who had done multiple craftsman homes, and not every designer has done that, you know, and this was AD. I mean, this was an incredible piece for this designer to get an inclusion in because she really was an expert. So there's really great opportunities like that. And I think that Library Card has given, we're trying to give more opportunity to more designers without having to commit to a long-term commitment or like a very pricey retainer, which is what you might need if you're launching something new. I mean, Library Card is not for everyone. It's not for people that want to be pitched for profiles and have a huge portfolio of work and all of that. But it is great if what you want to get more of is these expert and trend stories and talking about, like, you know, what's trending in 2024. I do think that those still have value. I mean, I always want to know.
And it sounds like a really good gateway drug, right? working with the Storied Group.
Yeah. I mean, it really is that. I mean, it is kind of it's like what designers have told me that they like it because it gives them a chance to dip their toe into PR and see what that's even like. And then also what it's like working with us.
Yeah. We do something similar here, is we'll have like our strategy as a standalone, or we have our Wingnut Academy. And most clients who do that build that know, like, and trust, or they get their feet wet and they see what social can do for them. And then they become full service clients. Exactly. But it also provides an opportunity for those designers who aren't quite at the level to being able to afford that full, let's pitch to AD. By the way, I would like an inclusion in AD Pro on social media. Thank you. So is there anything that you feel that we need to add to this topic before we get into the What Up Wingnut round?
I mean, I think ultimately, you know, to go back to photos, I don't want to scare people into thinking that they have to bring in a photographer that's going to cost $10,000 and, you know, hire Colin King to come and style every single project. But what I would encourage you to do is to really start reading the publications regularly that you hope to be in. And this is sort of a way to teach or to train your eye and just get a better sense for what editors are looking for. Like, right click on the photos on these publications, save them to your desktop, and then open them, and then open your last project photos and look at them side by side and try to determine, like, are my photos cool? Are they warmer? Are they moodier? Are they light and airy? You know, how does the styling compare? How do the angles compare? It's the only way that you're going to get better. I mean, when I first started out in PR, I was terrible at photo shoot stuff. Like, I was so intimidated. I didn't really know what I was even supposed to do at a photo shoot, whether it was for a celebrity or, you know, design related. And then over time, you know, you really start to just figure it out through trial and error. And I think that that's what you have to do, because you can certainly style your own projects as long as you have the eye for it, and you have to start somewhere.
Yeah, I love it. And especially if you're at the point to maybe you don't have the budget to afford a photographer and a stylist. And I mean, we're designers, you know, at the end of the day. So hopefully you'll have some kind of clue after looking at some examples. But, you know, it's always best if you can to delegate it to people who specialize in those things.
And the last thing I would say, mm-hmm. Yeah, if you have a client who you know will not be part of the story, then you yourself should get in a couple of shots in the house.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
So, because we see that mistake all the time where we're just like, oh gosh, like, I just really wish you know, we had just one of you. And that's great for social content too. So
yes.
But then you want to hire a photographer that knows how to shoot people. Because those are two different skill sets.
You need a lifestyle photographer, a stylist, an architectural photographer, and we need Molly Schoneveld.
Just don't use a real estate photographer ever for your design photos.
I started with a real estate photographer, and to her credit, she did a pretty good job, but I didn't know what I didn't know. Graduated, there we go, to someone who I flew him down from New York, and yeah, that was expensive, but it was worth it. The best pictures we ever took. All right, Molly Schoneveld. Now I have to ask you, are you ready for the What Up Wingnut round?
I'm ready.
So you've done this before, so I have some new questions for you.
I know, I'm terrified.
If you were a twee, what kind of twee would you be, my Barbara Walters?
I would be a Japanese cherry tree.
Beautiful. Why?
Because I just think that they are so gorgeous. And people fly all over fly to Japan. We actually have Japanese cherry trees here in Raleigh and do gardens. And I can't wait to go see them. And they've like predicted when the cherry tree blossoms will be like floating in the air like snow. And I'm like living for it. So I feel like DC. That's what I should be. Yeah,
I love it. And here's a new question I haven't asked. You're the first person I ever asked this. So if you were in an event and they're introducing you, what would your walk-on song be?
Oh my God. It would probably be something so lame, honestly. Like, my taste in music is like sad girl music, like Lana Del Rey. Like, it would literally be like something so
summertime.
Like summertime sadness.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to get the crowd riled up.
Exactly,
mine would be.
Exactly.
Since this is the first time I'm asking this, I will say mine would be You Better Work by Britney Spears.
Oh my God, amazing. That's such a good answer.
And last but not least, you please recommend a book that you have read that's inspired you.
I mean, I feel that the time is appropriate to bring up One Day again, because I just binged the new Netflix series, and that book is quite possibly my favorite novel of all time. If you've not read the book, do not watch the show until you've read the book. The movie, sadly, was not great with Anne Hathaway, even though I love her. But the show, oh my God, it's worthy of all the hype it's getting.
It's called One Day?
One Day. David Nichols wrote the book.
How did that, why did that inspire you?
I mean, I think that it just... to think that there would be someone to have such a huge impact on your life and the way that these two people had with each other was just hugely impactful. And I don't think I'm alone in this. If you've read the book, then you feel me. But in terms of a business book, and I don't think I said this last time, it would be Clockwork.
Who's a guest on the show?
Mike, what's his last name?
I'm having a menopause moment. Michalowicz.
Yeah, there you go. And I couldn't pronounce it. Sort of like Schoeneveld. He has a very hard last name.
He does. Yeah. All right, Molly Schoeneveld, thank you so much for joining us. Please tell the audience where they can go to find out more about you, more about Library Card, more about the Storied Group, and we'll call it a day.
Yeah, so you can go to storiedgroup.com, and Library Card is actually at the very top right now, so it's very easy to find. You can find me on Instagram at the Storied Group, or my personal Instagram at molly.schoeneveld.
All right. Thanks for joining us again, Molly.
Thank you so much for having me. Great to see you.
All right, guys. So I'm not surprised, as a marketing person, right, having Wingnut Social, a marketing agency, that storytelling is taking a much bigger role in the aesthetics of shelter magazines, home magazines, and such. It just really makes sense because you want to get those relationships built for the long term. That ensures long-term growth and success. I do understand why, you know, High Point Market was aghast with an SEO-based content calendar for that. So, but you know, sometimes you got to roll with the times, make the best of it, and make sure that you understand what's happening so you can still show up and you can be found among that noise. If they're looking for search engine optimization because people are looking for the, you know, jalapeno ice cubes or for the red, you know, the hint of red, then if you can insert your way in there in an organic and an authentic way, and there you'll know. Now you know, right, what they're looking for. And these kinds of placements, you know, with having to have a photographer and a stylist and, you know, different kinds of photographers, it can be daunting. The expense can be daunting if you're a newer firm especially, but they pay off so, so much. And when I say they pay off, I'm talking about the organic placements or some you working with a PR firm like Molly Schoeneveld and getting placed in magazines, not them reaching out to you saying, hey, for $3,500, we'll put you in our magazine. That's another animal altogether, right? So that's not what the show is about. But getting organic traction in magazines and in on your social and getting shared by other accounts on social goes a long way for building your audience that know, like, and trust, and that gravitas for you as the leading authority in your niche, however that looks. So thank you again, Molly, for joining us. Molly, and that's of the Storied Group. And you can find her at thestoriedgroup.com and on Instagram at thestoriedgroup as well. All right, guys, that is it for this week. Remember, if you need help with marketing your interior design firm, wingnutsocial.com. And until next time, remember to get out there, get uncomfortable, and be great.
You've reached the end of this episode of Designed by Wingnut Social. But that's only the first step into accelerating your business the Wingnut way. Head over to wingnutsocial.com or call us at 786-206-4331 to see how we can help take your business from meh to amazing. We'll see you on the next episode of Designed by Wingnut Social, your digital marketing tightly fastened.
And to your point, we've had clients... Hold on. Sorry. I think we have a delivery. My dogs are barking. Okay. Sorry about that. And to your point, we've had clients with... Are we cut out? Can you hear me?
I can now.
Can you hear me? Are you there? Okay. Good boy, Mango.